Well, it's good to see everybody.
Powered by Riverside FM.
As I was kind of reflecting on what Wednesday night should be, as I said, kind of at the beginning of service, as Aaron was gone and Vicky's gone, I really just feel a call to push into prayer as the church. I think it's so important as we do ministry, as we are busy about the work of God, to realize that if we don't step back and if we don't just sit in God's presence and seek what he wants, we can just so easily become distracted and by the chaotic nature of everything that's going on. So what I wanted to do is just kind of spend a little bit of time in the scripture and just go through some psalms that just kind of show us Jesus in different ways. Talk about that just a little bit in the word, but then just go into hopefully 30 minutes of just prayer together. And it's going to be kind of informal. We'll get to that point when we get to that point. But just to prepare our hearts, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 2. And there's a number of psalms that kind of, they're called messianic psalms. And they were written, you know, way before Jesus came. But they paint clear pictures of who Jesus was going to be and who, you know, God was going to give in the person of Jesus. And I love the Psalms because so many times, I don't know if you guys have been to this place where your soul is just kind of like in need of refreshment. I don't, if it's like sometimes you're downcast in spirit, sometimes ministry or life or work or whatever you're going on is just hard. Relationships are hard. And the Psalms are often a place that I turn to when I kind of need that refreshment from the Lord. I think God's kind of uniquely kind of put the Psalms as this place where you can go to restore your soul in a lot of different ways. You know, we know that the Psalms are songs and poetries, and there's various writers of the Psalms. Many are written by David, but they come from all different perspectives, right? It was people who were trying to deal with sin in their lives, and they're crying out to God to help them with their sin. There's times where we see this in David's life, particularly he's oppressed by enemies on all the sides and he's crying out to the Lord for help. And then often there's times where people are just worshiping the Lord, right? They're seeing his goodness, his grandeur, and they write these poetry, they write these songs in order to worship the Lord. But I just encourage you to make the Psalms part of your regular reading, you know, of your life. A lot of people just continually go through the Psalms day by day or week by week. So Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm, and I just want to read it and then just kind of get into it a little bit of just how it shows us Jesus before we kind of seek him. So it says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can open it, that we can just reflect a little bit on you in this time, and then just, Lord, seek you. I just pray for this church, Lord, that we be seeking you like never before in this season. That we'd be turning to you, Lord, and just trying to deal with sin, deal with so many things that come up in the church that are just distractions, Lord. We want to be about who you are. So be about this time in Jesus' name. So we know, obviously, that people by nature, right, are at war with God. And this psalm kind of paints that picture, right? We know that all our nature comes against God as an enemy. The Bible says that we were once enemies of God, right? And here it paints this picture that the nations have all given their authority to false gods and spiritual beings. And these spiritual beings, these false gods, you know, they delight in evil and they delight in fighting against the one true God, right? And we see this all around us, right? In the nations all over the world, right? Nations that more and more, I think, are calling good evil and evil good. I think you can see this clearly, you know, in the West and in the East, right? In the West, there's, you know, I think depravity that's revealing itself that's just, you know, similar to Sodom and Gomorrah that we read in the Bible, right? And then here in Asia and the East, you know, we obviously see so much animism and spiritualism and idolatry as well, right? And we recognize that these are real powers, right? These nations, these territories, you know, they have real spirits attached to them that are executing spiritual warfare, right? But we also know that God is bigger and greater than all those spirits, right? And I love that. It says, but God laughs, right? He laughs at the foolishness of man, thinking that he knows better and thinking that he can fight against him, right? And then also, I think he laughs at these fallen angels or these demons who think that they can stand against him, right? Because eventually he's going to judge. And then so in this scripture, we see Jesus, the divine member of the Trinity, right? We believe in the Trinity as the church, which is three distinct persons, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but one essence, God. And we see that, you know, this scripture is revealing the second member of the Trinity, Jesus. When he first came, he offers grace, he offers salvation, right? He offers that way of escape from being an enemy that we find ourselves naturally in, and then bringing us into the family of God if we trust, right? It's a beautiful scripture. But see, here in Psalms 2, I think we see Jesus in his second coming, which I want us to think about tonight, right? That's Jesus coming in judgment and wrath, right? It's where he's going to separate those who love him from those who find themselves against him, right? Jesus is the King and the Lord. And the Bible says that he's coming on the clouds of heaven, right? One day at the last trumpet, he's coming on the clouds of heaven and he's judging evil once and for all. So the whole point of this is that, you know, if you don't know who the Lord is, you don't have that renewed relationship with him, right? You know, that this psalm should bring fear, right? This song should bring fear of judgment. Because, you know, people who find themselves in that spot are not on the right side of the kingdom, right? But if we do know him, I think what it inspires in Christians is just the renewed desire to live holy lives, right? To live pure and holy lives. And it's convicting, right? All the times that we mess up, right? Daily. But again, that's why I think prayer is so important and so important, right? It's important in our daily personal lives to renew ourselves, to focus in on holiness and connecting with God. But I think corporately as the church, it's so important prayer to together seek that holiness, right? There's something special that happens when I think the church prays together and is in unity in one place, right? So again, for the next 30 minutes, we're just going to do that. And what I want to say just about prayer real quick, though, before we start, and again, it'd be kind of informal. My pastor always used to say these double A, double B, double C's. So I'll try to incorporate that, his legacy, into my teaching and stuff. So double A means when we pray together corporately, agree attentively, right? I think it's good when someone prays something that is Spirit-guided and Spirit-inspired. It's okay to audibly say amen, right? Or yes, praise the Lord. Obviously, that gets to the point where it can be distraction, but also it's affirming, right? To agree attentively with each other. Double B would be believe boldly, right? That God is going to work, that God is going to answer prayers, that God's going to spiritually do something in the time that we give to him and commit to him, right? And then double C would be communicate clearly. So I think oftentimes when we pray, thinking of the practical things, right? Are we loud enough that people can hear us? Things like that, right? And I know there's a lot of Chinese with us here, right? And I love the fact that I would encourage you guys to pray in your heart language, right? To pray in Chinese. That's amazing. And then I would just ask maybe if we could have translation of what was prayed, kind of maybe a synopsis, so we can also be just included those who aren't gifted in multiple languages like me. I wish I was. And so before we go there, and then just also recognize that silence is okay. I think sometimes people get caught up in the fact that silence is awkward or weird. That might be a cultural thing in the West. But sometimes when we pray, you know, there's just times where it's silent and it's okay. Well, that's great. So we're going to spend the rest of this time going to the Lord, and then we're going to wrap up and have dinner together. But let's do that together.